very interesting medrash in Eicha, in which Knesset Yisrael seems to be complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after the Churban. Mashal Melech Shekoas Al Matruno. The mashal of a king who got angry at his wife, maiden, who became his wife. V'dachva, pushed her away. V'itziya chutz lepaltin, he threw her out of the palace. Holcha v'tzimtzima panea achara amud, she went and she pushed her head against the pillar, and she's crying. Nimtza ha-melech over v'roya isa, the king goes by and sees her crying. Amrulai, she's got tainas. Adoni ha-melech, kach yofeli, it's nice to treat me like this. B'kach noe, b'kach royli, that's what I deserve. Shaloi kibla ischa isha acheres el ani, no other woman was ready to marry you except for me. Amrla, the king says back to her, ani husha pasalti kol anashim bavurech, what are you talking about? I rejected every other woman because of you. So you don't do what I want, you get thrown out of the house. Amrulai, imkain, if you passeled everybody else because of me, so then explain this. Lama nichnasta lamavui plaini, ulachatzer plaini, why did you go into this alley and to this courtyard? Ulamakam plaini and to this place? Leibishvil isha plainis, ulachiblaischa? Didn't you go run after this woman and she said, sorry, not interested? Kach amra kodesh baruch hu liyisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the same thing to Klal Yisrael after the Churban. Klal Yisrael has a taina. Amru lefanav, Rabbeinu Shalom, kach yafel lanu. That's what's nice for us. V'kach noel lanu, v'kach hagun lanu. Shalai kibla uma acheres teiraska ela ani. The only nation who is willing to take your Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is us. Amru lehem, I was the one who rejected all of the other nations. It wasn't that you took the Torah. I decided I wanted you and not them. Amrulai, they said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Knesset Yisrael says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Imkain, lamechzarta terascha, alumas ha'ilam lekiblua. Why did you go to Esav? Why did you go to Yishmael? Why did you go to all the others? Apparently no one else was interested except for us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no answer. Not in this medrash. The king throws his wife out of the house. She says, I was the only one who was willing to marry you. He says, no, I rejected everybody else. The wife says, well then explain this. You ran after this one, you ran after that one, and no one was willing. No answer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, I have a right to be Machra of the Beis HaMikdash. Klal Yisrael says, hello fair. We were the only ones who were willing to accept the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what do you mean? I rejected all the other umos. Klal Yisrael says, no you didn't. You offered it to Esav, you offered it to Yishmael, you offered it to Ammon and Moab, and they said no. So why are you being so mean to us? Why aren't you treating us like we deserve to be treated? What's the pshat? The medrash doesn't say anything. The Beis HaLevi explains the pshat in this medrash, al pi Zayar HaKadosh, and then he brings another medrash to back it up. The Zayar HaKadosh brings another mashal. This time a mashal of a doctor. A doctor who has an elixir for life. He has a life potion. Drink it, you live forever. And the doctor wants to give the elixir to life to his son. Who else? But there's a problem. He's got some unsavory characters, some unsavory help around the house. And he knows that if they get wind of the fact that he's got this magic potion, there's no way that they're going to let the son have it. They'll kill his son and they'll take it for themselves. So what does he do? He's a wise man. He takes some really rotten-smelling poison, and he puts it onto this elixir for life. He smears it on the edges of the jar, And he says to all the unsavory characters, to all of his help around the house, would you like some? Good stuff. Elixir for life. You live forever. They take the thing, they smell it, they get one good whiff of this stuff, and they say, that's okay. Just smelling this stuff can put you in the hospital. And they give it to the doctor's son, and we live happily ever after. Zakta Beis Halevi, that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did with the Umas Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give the Torah to his son. Wants to give it to Klal Yisrael. So it's true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes and he offers the Torah to all of the Umas Olam. But how did he do it? We all know the Medrash. Another Medrash in Eicha. The Medrash says, he goes and says, Esav, you can have it. Esav says, Maksivba. He says, Leisirtzach. Esav says, forget it, I'm not interested. He gives it to Yishmael, Maksivba. Leisignav, okay, I'm not interested. Right? Gives it to Amon Amayav, Leisinav, I'm not interested. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu packaged the Torah in a way that all of the Umas Ha'olam would reject it. And then he offers it to Klal Yisrael. So that's what it means. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, I offered it to all the other nations, I had to do that because I knew that if I didn't, that would provoke so much jealousy that Klal Yisrael wouldn't be able to live as it is. From Sinai came Sinah. All the jealousy, all the anti-Semitism that we have in the world all comes from the fact that we have a Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu first offers it to the Umas Ha'olam, and then he puts it in a way that they're sure to reject it. That's the answer to the first Medrash, and that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers the Torah to the Goyim, and at the same time, makes sure that they reject it. One more point he makes. He says that whereas the Umas Ha'olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that they were going to reject the Torah, Klal Yisrael, he did exactly the opposite. Zakta Beis Halevi, the Torah says, famous pasuk, Kaysaymar lebeis Yaakov esagid lebnei Yisrael. This is what you should tell or say to Beis Yaakov, which is the Nashim, esagid lebnei Yisrael. And this is what you should tell to Bnei Yisrael, to the men. Beis Yaakov elu anashim is b'lashin racha. Sagid lebnei Yisrael, einshim v'diktukim, that's what you say to the men. Dvarim akoshin kegidin. Says the Beis Halevi, well, what's the pshat? Moshe Rabbeinu is going to speak to two different groups. He's going to have a men's shir and a woman's shir. That's not what it means. He says, Kaysayma lebeis Yaakov, start off talking like you talk to women. Say it sweetly. Tell all about the schar. Tell all about the greatness of the Torah. Then after that, once they get into it, then sagid l'bnei Yisrael and tell them the meat and potatoes, tell them the tough stuff, tell them all the lumdis, because you got them already. So when you're talking to the goyim, you present the whole thing and you make an offer and you make sure that they reject it. When you talk to Bnei Yisrael, you make sure that they accept it. And that's the pshat in the Medrash. That's why Klal Yisrael has no taina. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that the goyim were going to reject it and that you were going to accept it. Beautiful shtickle Torah. But let me ask you a question. Is that fair? Is that fair? If you're really offering it to the goyim, so then offer it to the goyim in a way that they have a choice. They can accept it, they can reject it. You pull out, dafka, the thing that you're going to give to Esav is the thing that Esav can't do. You talk to Yishmael, you tell him the thing that he can't do. I'm going to may the thing that they can't do. This is a little fair. And at Klal Yisrael, you've got an unfair advantage. You start off by telling him how wonderful Torah is, and then afterwards, you know, you tell him all the rough stuff. It's a bit tilted over here. How does the system work? Obviously, there was a decision made beforehand that has to do with our forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the nature of Klal Yisrael that caused and told HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should tilt the field a little bit over here and make sure that the right thing comes out. Maisa, going back many years, I have a friend who went through an experience, told me about it, that I learned a lot from. It helped me out in different situations as well. This friend who's involved in a, let's say, a particular shul. And you know how it is in shuls and with Jews. So not everybody can get maftir yayna every year. And people tend to get aggravated sometimes, you know. People not so nice when they get aggravated. And this friend of mine, so he had a position in the shul, had some power. And there was a person who did a lot for the shul, who for whatever reason felt that he was wronged. And he decided to take it out of my friend. He was so mad that he was bubbling and bubbling. He was livid. But he was so mad that he couldn't even go over to my friend and talk to him about it. So he did the next best thing. He wrote down on a piece of paper, "This is what I feel about what's going on over here through my glasses. This is what I think that you did to me. This is what I think is wrong. Vahala, 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 vahala." Okay, I have a Kabbalah from one of my Rebbeim that that's a very good idea, provided you do one thing. Put the letter in an envelope, seal it shut, and put it in a drawer until May of Esrim, and then tell somebody in your will that they should get rid of all of those letters. But this guy went and he delivered the letter to my friend. And my friend reads it and basically is, you know, whatever, is this hostile letter full of hate, basically saying, you know, I have tremendous animosity towards you and I don't think that you know what you're doing. And a person is put under attack like that, so you have one of two choices. Choice number one is that you just decide, okay, fine, this person deserves my ire and my hatred back. He doesn't like me, I don't like him, yeah? Certainly makes a very strong impression. But he didn't do that. He realized, okay, this guy is very, very angry. This guy maybe doesn't like me, maybe even hates me. But there's something that he needs help with. So how can I try to help him out of it? That perspective, that when you have a volatile situation, you can react to it in a way which is, okay, fine, it's just going to cause more machlaikas and more hate and more anger. Or to say there's a problem that needs to be worked out over here. Something that made a very, very big impression on me and helped me out a lot in life. But there's a deeper point there, and this is what I want to get at. The ability to do that only comes when a person has a certain weight as a person. A person who's a superficial person, a person who just looks at the, you know, the whole world as a game of egos and a game of competitions, there's no way that you will be able to react to such a situation by saying, let me help this guy out of his problem, even though he's attacking me. That's if you're a lightweight. But if you're a person who has staying power, if you're a person who's a heavyweight, so it may be uncomfortable for you, but you realize it's not the time to think about me now. It's the time to think about how can I help somebody in this situation. Lemaisa, I think that that's the pshat in these midrashim and Beis Alevi as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a conscious decision to offer Klal Yisrael the Torah in a way that he knows that they are going to accept it. He offers it to the Goyim in a way that he knows that they are not going to accept it. He offers it to the Goyim because he has to include the Goyim. He doesn't want the Goyim to be too jealous. Right? Enough sinner in the world. But don't let them accept the Torah. Klal Yisrael, they have to accept the Torah. Ki'ilu, you can't give them a choice. Kaf Aleim Har Kegigis, it has to be. Why? Because Klal Yisrael, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the nature of Klal Yisrael. He knows that this is the people that we need in order to take the world to its ultimate conclusion. What are you going to do? You're going to have Esav accept the Torah? It's going to be a band of mafiosos. What are you going to do? You're going to have Yishmael accept the Torah? You're going to have the Islamic State. It's not going to last 100 years, 200 years. It's not going to last at all. So it's a foregone conclusion that that's the way that it has to be. The true weight and the true metal of a person, the true personality, is what makes a person a worthwhile investment. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew about us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew about Klal Yisrael. I'll just finish off with one other experience that I had. This happened to me last year. And somebody who I respect greatly told me something that I refuse to believe is absolutely true. I think it's a guzma. And said to me, you know, about 20 years ago, maybe a little less than that, people very much valued somebody who has a strong or great personality. That's what people were looking for. Nowadays, people are not into that anymore. People are into perks. People are more into cosmetics. That's what people really like. But somebody who has a strong, deep personality, people don't appreciate that anymore. If that's true, I think that we ought to all close our books and find a new religion and quit. Because that's what we're doing all day. We're trying to become lamdanim so that we know how to think, we know how to tackle a problem in life. We're learning Musar because of the fact that we're trying to develop our character. Everything that we're doing is to try to build our personality, to build ourselves as people. Yes, it's true. We live in the iPhone generation. People like perks. People like bells and whistles. But Lemaisa, the reason that there are so many depressed people today, maybe more than ever before, is because people know that behind all the perks, there's nothing. It's garnished. It's not worth anything. The only thing that's worth anything is if a person has a real personality, a real depth, a real staying power, a real weight. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw in Klal Yisrael. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, it wasn't you who chose me. It was me who chose you. I made sure that all the other Umas HaOlam were not going to accept the Torah. I made sure that you would. The matron was wrong. The king was right. The matron thought that she did the king the favor. She really didn't. The king rejected everybody else out of hand, just made sure that no one else was jealous. But why did she deserve the king? And why does Klal Yisrael deserve the Torah? Because Klal Yisrael has depth. Klal Yisrael has staying power. Klal Yisrael is a nation of lamdanim, of Bali Musar. And that's what we're doing in yeshiva. We're building ourselves through and through from the inside out. So that Be'ezer Hashem, the lessons that we learn here are not going to be good for a day or a week or a month or even a year, but they'll Be'ezer Hashem be good. Me'ev'esrim shana. Developing our seichel, developing our midas. My bracha to each and every one of you, that you are zeicha to build your personality. Because despite what that person was magzim, the most valuable thing in life is building yourself as a person. And that takes you until 120 years, and for nitzchius, may you all be zeicha. Good Shabbos.